We're going to have our Bible reading now, which continues our series in the letter to the Colossians. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air, and a steward will gladly bring you one. Colossians chapter 1, which you'll find on page 1182. Our focus this evening will be on verses 9 to 14, but it will help us if I read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it'd be really helpful to me if you had Colossians chapter 1 open in front of you, which you'll find on page 1182. And with that open in front of us, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, you are the revealer of mysteries. And thank you that most of all you have revealed the mystery of Christ, that we might know him, that we might know salvation through him, that we might know wisdom and knowledge as we listen to him. And we simply ask tonight that you would be the revealer of mysteries to us as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a room this size of people who would call ourselves followers of Christ, I know that there will be those of us who find it hard to continue to walk with Christ. Whether that's in our family lives, whether that's in our workplaces, whether that's simply in our personal life, it can be very hard to continue with Christ. So think about tensions in the workplace. Tensions that can be caused over time. So little things like you want to be a follower of Christ, you want to walk with Christ, but actually your work wants you to stay late on a Tuesday night. Or your work wants you to work that extra bit of time that weekend, or the night that you help on a kids club or whatever way you serve, And there's a tension over time because you want to continue with Christ. You want to meet with his people. You want to serve him. But the reality is it's tough. There's opposition. There's oppression from elsewhere. It could be tough sometimes simply because of moral pressure. So there's pressure to lie. There's pressure to gossip. And it is difficult to carry on as a follower of Christ. Because the pressure's on, the tension's there, we feel different. So we might feel it in that way. We might feel that it's difficult as well, simply because there are phases of our life where we hit a circumstance and we just do not have a clue what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus in these circumstances. So let me speak very personally, but there are many moments in my new role as a parent When I face a situation and I just think, I have no idea what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus right now. I have no idea what advice to give my kids. I have no idea how to handle this situation as a follower of Jesus. And it's hard. It's hard to be a follower of Jesus, to continue, because I just don't know. Don't know what it looks like. Some of us will find it difficult to follow because life is just too much. I sat with someone this week who said, I just don't think I can carry on. Because life was so hard, their illness was so hard that they didn't want to carry on. And it can be hard to continue as a follower of Christ in those circumstances. Even if we're not doubting him and all his worth and his value, it can be hard to continue. And that is before we throw into the mix our own personal battle with sin. It's before we throw into the mix all the things we've thought about already in this letter of Colossians to do with adding to Christ and taking away from Christ and all these challenges to having him as all we need. And that's where these verses this evening in Colossians will help us. Because Paul sets us an example. This issue of struggling with the ongoing pressures in life to continue with Christ is not a modern problem. It is not a 2014 problem just for Enfield. It was the problem for these Christians that Paul wrote to in Colossae. And Paul sets us an example by teaching us what to do. And here it is. He says, pray for continuing. Have a look with me at verse 9. For this reason, Paul says, and we'll come on to the reason in a minute, but for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Paul knows that they have started with Christ as Lord. That's everything that he recounted. If you were with us last week, you saw that the gospel came to them. They believed the gospel by the grace of God, and this gospel produced in them faith and love. That's where they started. And Paul knows that about this group of Christians. Just as many of us in this room can be sure that we've started with Christ because it has produced in us, the gospel has produced in us faith and love. For that reason, Paul then goes on to pray for them. Prayer is an act of depending on God. Prayer is the act of saying to God, you have everything, I have nothing. You have what I badly need. And so Paul prays. He goes to God because he's got something, God has got something that these believers badly need. Now why does he pray for them? Well, he tells us, verse 10. This is the reason. Now we'll come on to what he prays for them, but here is the reason he prays for them. Verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Let me summarize that. That is a prayer for these Christians to continue with Christ. Continuing is described in two ways. First of all, to live a life worthy of the Lord. I used to play for one of my school sports teams. And we used to get this lecture every time we went out to play. So we'd be sitting in the changing rooms, and our PE teacher would be saying, right, lads, you're wearing the school PE kit. I want you to go out and play worthy of the school name. That means no hitting, no punching,
no gouging eyeballs, all that kind of stuff. So that was it. He used to say, you've got to be worthy. You've got to play worthy of the team you represent, the school you represent. You are putting on display the team, the school that you play for. And it's that idea of worthy that he's talking about here. So have a look again, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord's. This isn't worthy as in you've got to do stuff to be worthy for God. This is worthy as in you've got to live a life that puts on display the Lord we follow. This is worthy as in you've pulled on the Christ kit, as it were, and you are started with Christ, and now you must live a life. A continuing life is a life that puts our Lord and all that he is on display to those around us. That is a continuing life, continuing with Christ. And then he says, sorry, I should have gone through some of these. He says that it's also pleasing life. You look at that, the second half of the verse, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Now again, this isn't doing stuff to please Jesus so that he will accept you. That's anti the gospel. That's anti what he's already told them about in the start of the letter. This is pleasing God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've become so in tune with our Lord that we do the things he likes and we avoid the things he dislikes. A continuing life is saying to Christ, I love you, Christ. You are all that I need, and I want to walk the path that you say is right. That is his description of a continuing life, one that continues with Christ. And as Paul hears of the evidence that we read last week in verses 3 to 8 of their starting with Christ, he prays, he goes to God for their continuing with Christ. Now, have you thought about it for a moment? Why does he tell them what he's praying for them? Why does he tell them what he's praying for them? Well, two lessons, I think. First of all, it identifies that they're only going to continue if God helps them. And secondly, it sets them an example to follow so that they pray this for themselves and for others. It identifies, it's a truth that we need to know tonight and get a fresh hold of, that we will only continue with all the pressure that's on us, with all that's going on in our lives, if God helps us to continue. And that's why Paul tells them what he prays before he gives them the instruction to continue. It's very interesting in the letter. You see, here he tells them what he's praying. He highlights the fact to them that you will only continue if God helps you to continue. And then you have to wait till all the way into chapter 2, verse 6, where he gives them the instruction. Have a look. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. You've got to get the first bit right. You've got to understand that only God can help you to continue before you can possibly try to live out an instruction to continue. Pray for continuing. Why? Well, Paul gives us particular things to pray for. Pray for continuing because continuing with Christ needs know-how from God. When I was in my early 20s, for some reason that I do scratch my head over now, I decided to build a car. And it's a bit of a sore point in our marriage, so I wouldn't mention it too much to Emma if you're ever raising it. But it was going really well, and I was doing a great job, I thought, at least, until I had to connect up all the wires. And I had this box with all these wires in to connect up, and I pulled it out, and I had this humongous web. I can't even begin to describe it. This humongous web of wires with bits that needed connecting all over. It was hundreds of little things that needed sticking places. And I looked at this thing and I just thought, I do not have the know-how to connect this up to the car. I have absolutely not a clue. I lacked the know-how, and therefore the project could not continue because I was there with this big mess in front of me and I didn't know where anything went. And what I needed to do in the end was call up the guy who made this thing and said, help. Where do these bits go? Where do I connect all these cables to? I needed know-how. Without the know-how, I couldn't continue. Look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Paul is asking God to fill the Colossian Christians with this knowledge of his will. Now, if you've been hanging around a church or the Christian scene for any number of years, you will know that knowledge of his will is a phrase that we can use in all sorts of ways. And we tend to take this phrase and use it to refer to kind of God's secret plan for my life. You know, I've got to kind of work out what God's will is for my life. You know, what does he want me to do for a job? Who does he want me to marry? We tend to use the phrase in that kind of way, but that's not what it means here. It's not about God's secret plan for our life and he's got to reveal it to us. Actually, we know what it's about because of what he goes on to say. So you have a look. He says, a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This knowledge of his will, his desires, his plans, all those things that he has is an incredibly practical thing. It's not kind of out there knowledge, it's rooted in life. And we know that because of these words wisdom and understanding. So the word wisdom, being filled with wisdom, is know-how for life. It's how to do life, how to be a parent, how to be a child, how to be a pupil, how to be an employer, how to be just you. It's practicalities for life from the one who made life. That's what wisdom is. This is know-how from God on how to live in a world where he is in charge, where Christ is in charge, where Christ is all you need. It's the same words that is used with Solomon. Solomon, apart from the Lord Jesus, was the wisest king ever to live. And it's that wisdom that he asks for as he faces the practicalities of leading the people of God. God, I need know-how on how to live as someone who puts you in charge and has got all these things to do in life. I need your know-how to do that. And if wisdom is living God's way, then understanding is seeing life God's way. It's seeing this world from the perspective of God, where it's come from, where it's heading. Our salvation, it's all bundled up. It's seeing the world through God's eyes. Understanding. It means understanding that this world is about Christ. It is for Christ. He is head of all. Knowledge of his will is not just a brain thing. It is an incredibly practical thing. It is rooted in everyday life. And it's deeply connected to the life that we live. Know-how and continuing with Christ go hand in hand. And this prayer, if we look at it in detail, if you look at the end or the middle of verse 10, so he prays that they're filled with this knowledge of God's will, the know-how from God, so that they continue with Christ. And as God fills us with this knowledge, his know-how, several things happen. First of all, we start bearing fruit in every good work. If God's know-how helps us to see life properly and to do life properly his way, then that means we start to overflow with good works, good things, because his instruction is good. It is his way, and therefore we overflow with his works. It helps us to do good things, to do right things. As God fills us with a knowledge of his will, we grow in our knowledge of him. I know in the past I've talked a lot about kind of things that go round, cycles in the Bible, but here's another one. It's the knowledge go round. Because God fills you with his knowledge of his will, and what happens as that happens? Well, then you start to get to know better, God better. And as you get to know God better, you understand his will better. his know-how. And as you get to know his know-how, you get to know him. You see how it goes round? That the continuing life, the mark of someone who is continuing with Christ, is that they grow to know God. They know him. It's a personal relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're filled with this know-how from God, living God's way, seeing the world God's way, then it says in verse 12 that we'll be those who are filled with thankfulness for our salvation. Why? Because at the very center of God's will is Christ. He is God's plan for the world. Our salvation in him is God's plan for the world. See, have a look carefully with me at verse 12. It says there that we'll be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. As God fills us with his know-how, his perspective on this world, then we will not help but be those who overflow with thankfulness to the Lord Jesus who has qualified us. That means he's done everything. He has satisfied every need for us to have a place amongst God's people. We'll be filled with thankfulness if we are filled with God's know-how on our world and on all that this world is. We're thankful because he's qualified us. And the more he fills me, the more I will show all the marks of someone who is continuing with Christ. I need know-how from God if I'm going to continue. I need know-how from God as a parent, and I try and work out what it means to live as a follower of Christ as a parent. I need know-how when I'm facing those struggles in the workplace or tensions because of my faith. I need know-how. I need to know Christ. I need him to fill me so that I can continue. And so we pray for continuing because we need God to fill us with his know-how to do it. Is that how you're praying for yourself? Do you pray for God to fill you with his know-how so that you can continue with Christ on any given day? Is that how we pray for each other? I don't know if you're in the habit of using the church prayer diary, if you're a member of this church, where we have a list of one another to pray for every day. But here's a good thing to pray for one another, that they would be filled, that we would be filled with know-how from God so that we know what it means to continue with Christ. When we hit those points of not knowing what to do at work or with our money or with our time, do we pray? Do we recognize that we only continue because it comes from God? Or do we dig somewhere else for an answer? Pray for know-how from God so that we might be those who continue with Christ. But we must pray because continuing with Christ also needs batteries from God. Now that's a bit of an odd title, but let me try and explain what I mean. We've just had Christmas, and I've just noticed afresh, really, the number of toys that you can buy for kids that have that big label slapped on the outside of the box that says batteries required, and then the little footnote that says, and batteries not included. The annoying thing, it's not just a mark for a parent to know that that you've got to go and spend some more money on some batteries, but actually it's a sign to you that says, this toy will not do what you're buying it to do unless you get some power for it. Unless you go out and get some batteries that will energize this toy, it will be a dead toy and your child will cry and cry and cry because it doesn't do what it's meant to do. Now, in many ways, it's the same when we become followers of Christ. A label is slapped onto the outside of us that says batteries required and batteries not included. For a believer to continue with Christ, it takes power from God. Look with me at verse 11 before you think I've gone completely insane. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. A continuing Christian
is a strengthened Christian. It's a Christian with batteries in, to coin a phrase. Now, I know that it comes here in the list of what a life, that's a continuing life, looks like. But the difference here is it's something being done to us. Being strengthened is something God does to the believer. In fact, actually, we could look at it quite literally, and you could read the verse like this, because there's lots of powers in this verse. So let me read verse 11 to you again. It's being given power with all power according to his glorious power. That's literally how the verse reads. This is about power, and he doesn't want you to miss it. This is about strength from God. God takes from his glorious, his magnificent, inexhaustible power, and he takes it and he puts it in the Christian so that they might have power to continue living as a Christian. So that we might live a life that's worthy of the Lord. It takes his power for us to do that. Now, I want to pause here for a moment, and I want us to think through that, because that we could easily skirt over and miss just how big that is. That to consider just for a moment the extent of this power that is given and is needed for continuing Christians like us. It's described here, isn't it, as his glorious might. The word glorious it comes from the word glory, which means putting on display. And so this is his put on display might. And there are two places in this letter where we see the power of God on display that will help us understand what power it is that is given to us to help us continue. Have a look with me at verses 12 to 14. In verses 12 to 14, what is being described is the God who uses his power to rescue us from the dominion of darkness, to redeem us, and to forgive our sins. That is mighty power. The language of verses 12 to 14 is really resemblant of the Old Testament story of the Israelites' rescue from Egypt. And that is a story that if you read it in the Old Testament, the phrase, with mighty power he led them out of Egypt. It is an event of great power, of great might to rescue people. And God puts on his power, so his power on display through the rescuing of his people from Egypt. And he puts his power on display, his glorious might on display, as he rescues sinners like us from the captivity of sin and from a dominion of darkness and brings us through Christ into his kingdom. That is power. The rescuing power of God. And what he is saying is that it takes as much power for a Christian like Nathan to continue living with Christ as it did for him to rescue me in the first place. With all the power that he used to save me, with all the power that he displayed at the cross of Jesus, as Jesus rescued me from the hands of Satan, it takes that power for me to continue. That is the power that he puts in us so that we might continue with him. And if that's not staggering enough to you, just flick forward to chapter 2, verse 12. Because here the power of God is mentioned again. And it says in chapter 2, verse 12, just read the last bit, the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. It takes the same power for us to continue with Christ as it did to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the power that he takes and he puts in us if we're believers, so that we continue to walk with Christ, to live with him as Lord. Now, what's the power for? Well, have a look at verse 11. The power is for endurance. The word endurance means to bear up under pressure. It's a bit of a rubbish illustration, but if I had a cardboard box here and I was going to stand on it, what would happen? It would crush because I'm big and I'm heavy. Easy. I'm big and I'm heavy. But you see, if I was to then take another cardboard box and to fill it with bricks and stand on it, what have I done? I've strengthened it so that it doesn't crush when I stand on it. Now that's the picture. God so fills the Christian with his power that when the pressure comes, pressure that would otherwise crush us, his power stops us from crushing. It's like bricks stacked up inside us who are cardboard boxes. It stops us crushing under the pressure of the things that will stop us continuing. So it could be that pressure that we talked about earlier, pressure at work, pressure in our families, the pressure of not talking about Christ because it rocks the boat in our family, all sorts of bits of pressure that make it difficult to continue with Christ. And he so fills us with his power. Why? So we have endurance, so we won't be crushed when the pressure comes. Now that helps us, doesn't it? To pray for God's power to fill us, because there will be people, and I know there are people in this congregation who feel I just can't carry on, the pressure is too much. And as someone like that feels crushed, we must remember that the power of God fills us so that we can endure, so that we will not be crushed. And he gives us his power for patience. You see that in verse 11? Patience is the idea of restraint when we're being tested. It means to act God's way when we're under pressure. The word literally means long suffering. And as I've reflected on why God gives us his power, these are two qualities that we see in abundance in our Lord Jesus, aren't they? The one who endured and who showed patience when he was under pressure. When he faced the circumstances that he was called to face for our rescue. It says in the account when Jesus is praying in the garden. And there is a moment in his life when he felt great pressure. And it says that as he prayed, God sent an angel from heaven who strengthened him. It's the same word. It's this idea of filled him with power. Why? So that he could endure what he was about to face. So that he would have patience in what he was about to face. The Lord Jesus, who did not retaliate when they held their insults at him. The Lord Jesus, who was not crushed under the pressure, he didn't run away. He was strengthened to do the task that God had called him to do. He was patient and he was long-suffering and he endured in his humanity. Why? Because he was filled with power from God. Just as God does for us as we face the circumstances that he calls us to face. We must be those who pray for our continuing because it needs power from God. We need batteries from God. We don't bring our own batteries to the table. Actually, we do, you know, sometimes you buy a toy and it says this requires batteries and there's some batteries in the pack. But actually, we're not like that. We don't start the Christian life with the power of God rescuing us, and then we kind of bring our own batteries to carry on. No, the power of God that saves us is the power of God that needs to be in us if we're to continue. And that's why we pray for our continuing. That is why we have to be people who pray for one another to have know-how from God. That is why we need his enabling. And do we pray like that? Do we pray like that for ourselves every day? Do we pray like that for others? My suspicion, if you're anything like me, is we're quite quick to jump
to people's needs when we pray. But actually their greatest need is power from God and know-how from God so they will continue with Christ. If we're not here tonight as someone who can say, Christ is all I need, Christ is my Saviour, then a prayer for continuing might seem like an odd thing to talk about tonight. But what I simply put before you this evening, if you're not someone who's walking with Christ, is that it takes a great act of power to rescue you from the dominion of darkness, as it puts it here, and rescue you into the kingdom of Christ. And maybe tonight it's not a prayer for continuing you need, but a prayer for starting. Because if it takes a great act of power, then you need to ask God for that power to rescue you through the Lord Jesus. We must be those who pray for our continuing if we're followers of Christ, so that we might know his power and his help to carry on in whatever he's called us to face. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to confess tonight that we are often all too slow to pray when it comes to our continuing to walk with Christ. Father, there are many circumstances that we face as individuals, as a church, and there are individuals in this church that are causing great pressure and great difficulties in enduring with Christ, in continuing with him. Father, we especially commit to you those for whom it's difficult in their families to be a follower of Christ. Perhaps there's pressures on even coming out to a meeting like this. Perhaps there's pressures because there's divided loyalties. Please give know-how and power so that they might endure and they might know how to continue with Christ. Father, we pray for those among us who, for whom life seems too much because of illness, because of worries in life, because of trials that don't seem to go away. Please fill them with your know-how on how to continue with Christ. And please fill them with your power that they might endure and show patience in their trials. And Father, for all of us, please forgive us for seeking to continue with Christ in our own strength. Teach us to pray daily for your filling of us with knowledge and with power. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.